how bountiful we have from the fruit of the earth this morning. Here, thanks be to God and yourselves, and it looks good enough to eat, doesn't it? Shall we pray? Bountiful God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to live according to it, that we may grow in faith and hope and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A wine company advertisement in a popular magazine read, "The earth gives us wonderful grapes. The grapes give us wonderful wine. The wine wins us lots of new friends. Thank you, Earth." Now, such an advertisement shows how easy it is to give credit and thanks to everything and everyone but the real source of all our blessings. The theme of today's service is thanksgiving for harvest and all God's blessings. And I'd like to take a prayer from a prayer book called an Australian prayer book, look at it with you, and then invite you to join me in praying it at the conclusion of the message. And it's printed, thanks to Erica, on the back of your newsletter. It's called The General Thanksgiving, and it begins, "Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give humble and hearty thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people." And then it goes on to say, "We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life." The story is told of a science professor who constructed a planetarium, a precisely scaled model of the galaxy. A student came into his office and asked him who made it. The professor said, "No one." The student laughed and asked again, "Come on, who made this fantastic piece of precise work?" And the professor replied, "No one, it just happened." The student became confused and angry. And the professor said, "Well, if you can go out of this office today and look around at nature and the universe and believe it just happened, you can also believe this precise piece of work in the office here just happened without a creator." In Paul's letter to the Romans, we hear, "Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him. But in the book of the Revelation, we hear that the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you did create all things, and by your will they existed and were created.'" And in the psalm for today, Psalm 104, we hear, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all." And so today we too thank God for our creation. And we've been doing that in our hymns and in that lovely prayer, that Jeremy led us in. But we also thank God for our preservation. In verses 14 and 15, we hear, "You cause the grass to grow for the cattle, and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth." And therefore, today it's right that we thank God, and we want to, for our food and all the things we enjoy, and for those who work the land and the sea. And we pray God's blessing on their labours. Our preservation depends also on the sun. Verse 19, "You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. When the sun rises, man goes forth to his work." Well, I suppose there are some people that work at night on shift work, and they go to bed when the sun rises. Now, there's an imaginative story told of a day when the sun did not rise. 6 o'clock came, and there was no sign of dawn. At 7 o'clock, there was still no ray of light. At noon, it was as black as midnight. No birds sang, and only the hoot of an owl broke the silence. Then came the long black hours of the afternoon. Finally, evening arrived, but no one slept. Many were perplexed and fearful. A lot prayed, but after a long night, the sky at last began to grow red and the sun rose. Many lips said, "Thank God." The very consistency of God's blessings sometimes seems to dull our gratitude. The wonderful thing about the mercies of God is that they are fresh and new every morning. So, brothers and sisters, let us remember to be constantly thankful to our gracious God. Yes, we bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. In the letter to the Thessalonians, Paul writes to the Christians there and he says to them, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Bible commentator Matthew Henry, after being robbed, wrote in his diary, "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Well, a little boy was asked by his father to say grace at the table, and while the rest of the family waited, the little guy eyed every dish of food his mother had prepared, and after examination, he bowed his head and he honestly prayed, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway. Amen." We bless you for all the blessings of this life. I read a short article about a lady called Barbara Ann Kiffer, and she began keeping a list of all her favourite things that she enjoyed as a shy teenager, and the list gradually became second nature, so she found herself making additions while riding the bus, eating breakfast, and even in the middle of the night. 20 years later, and dozens of spiral notebooks later, her list was apparently published as a book with this title, 14,000 Things to Be Happy About. And the article ended with these words, "Why not write your own book?" Now, near the end of her life, and you'd remember this lady wrote some hymns, Frances Ridley Havergal. Apparently she jotted down every day on a little calendar, and sometimes it was only a little thing, something for which she thanked God. It was her way of thinking about thanking. Do you have a way of thinking about thanking? So we bless you for our creation and preservation and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. Andy brought our attention to the deep truths of the cross this morning. Redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter wrote a letter, and in his first letter he tells the Christians then, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There was a certain missionary, he became friends with a good friend of an Indian pearl diver, and they used to spend hours together discussing salvation. But the Indian couldn't really understand anything so precious being free. And instead, he thought he'd make preparation for the life to come by walking to Delhi, but he'd do it on his knees. And he thought this would surely buy entrance for him into heaven. The Christian missionary struggled to communicate to his friend that, well, look, it's impossible to buy entrance into heaven because the price would be too costly. But instead, he said, Jesus died to buy it for us. Well, he left for his pilgrimage, but before he did that, he thought he'd give his friend, the missionary, a large and perfect pearl. Well, largest and most perfect one the missionary had ever seen. The missionary offered to try and buy it, but the diver became upset and he said that the pearl was beyond price, that his only son had lost his life in the attempt to get it. The pearl was worth the lifeblood of his son. And as he said this, suddenly the diver understood that God was offering him salvation as a priceless gift. It is so precious that no man could buy it or earn it or deserve it, but it had cost God the life's blood of his only son, a free gift. Take it. Believe what he did for you on the cross. And may God's grace in that go on transforming our lives, that we may live according to his will. Yes, we bless you for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. The means of grace, it's an old-fashioned expression. There are private means and public ones. The chief private means of grace are the study of Scripture when you open your Bible during the week, and prayer, talk to God. The chief public means of grace are fellowship and worship together and the Lord's Supper. The hope of glory. And glory speaks of eternity. And Peter writes in his letter to Christians who were going through difficulties and hardships at the time, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. Notice how personal that is. And so God has called us to his eternal glory in Christ. That's ahead of us, dear friends. When God saves, he saves for eternity. Totally and permanently, it lasts forever. Now this prayer ends by saying, "And we pray, give us that due sense of all your mercies, that our hearts may be truly thankful, and that we may declare your praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days." And that brings me on to the second Bible reading for today from the letter to the Galatians. Well, Harvest Thanksgiving can direct our thoughts to sowing and reaping in nature. But here in this reading, we're told that what applies to nature also applies to human nature, because we are part of God's creation. And Paul tells us here that one way in which we sow and reap is what we sow in our character. We sow habits, and we're going to reap a character as a result. Let's hear again from the reading. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now, basically, that's telling us, if I cultivate my old self, I'll harvest a character that has gone rotten. But if I cultivate God's Spirit, that Spirit will produce life of a lasting quality. And we pray, give us that due sense of all your mercies, that we may declare your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives. Now, another way in which we sow, or can sow, is to sow good deeds to others. We read, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So well-doing, or good deeds. And I came across a little saying, "A Christian is someone who does good deeds. But a person who does good deeds is not necessarily a Christian." What's that saying? It's saying, I am not saved by good deeds, but I am saved for good deeds. It's not to do good deeds in order to get to heaven, but to do them because you're going there by God's grace through faith in Jesus. Now, Paul is basically encouraging Christians here not to give up sowing goodness, because there's bound to be a harvest. I don't know if you're in any situation that calls for not losing heart, not giving up doing good to others or someone in particular. Why might a person lose heart or grow weary in well-doing? One reason might be because there are not always immediate results. Another reason could be because the person or the people are not always appreciative or thankful. But in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And Paul adds, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Someone has paraphrased these words as, "So whenever we get the chance, let us give as much help as we can to everybody, and especially to our immediate family of believers." And now one more thought about sowing and reaping. In John's Gospel, we hear Jesus say to his disciples, "One sows and another reaps. That is, one sows the good news of Jesus, and another reaps people coming to faith in Jesus. I came across a little story in the latest Gideon News. I'd like to read it to you. It's titled, Repair for the Car, Repair for the Soul. And he writes, recently I was collecting my car after a major service and was attended by the manager. I had the opportunity to compliment him on an excellent service, offering him a little copy of God's Word. And the conversation was brief, being aware that another person was waiting for service. Opening to the back page, I was able to share how God loved him and has good plans for his life. We need to trust God, I said, and commit our heart and life to him. I mentioned the helps in the front of the New Testament and invited him to read the little book and make up his own mind. And he said, thank you so much. And that evening, the same man phoned me, apologised for the call, then told me how desperate he had been with a major family problem and how very timely my gift was. We conversed for a while, and then weepy, he gladly accepted prayer. A week later, in a God appointment, I saw him again and we talked and prayed. I praise the Lord that he's being counselled by a district pastor and is earnestly seeking the Lord's input into the situation. Well, that's an up-to-date real-life testimony of someone who was sowing. Now, we may not all be able to give out a Gideon's New Testament, but we can all be sowers. May God also grant that at times we will be reapers. Reap what others have sown before us. And then, as Jesus says, sower and reaper may rejoice together. And we will rejoice in eternity together, if not on this earth. I'd like to end by quoting the opening verse of an old hymn. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has led us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Would you like to pray with me the prayer on the back of our newsletter? The prayer that we've just been reflecting on together. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give humble and hearty thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and the hope of glory. And we pray, give us that due sense of all your mercies, that our hearts may be truly thankful, and that we may declare your praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and forever. Amen.